Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast, women's football episode. I'm here, your host, Moyo, at Moyo's Laboratory. I'm joined with two fantastic panelists. To my right, my first right, I have...
Tiwa underscore Lestrange.
Lovely. And Lauren?
Lauren at Lauren Coys.
Perfect. To start off with, obviously, first of all, guys, make sure you are followed the Gold Diggers account. On Twitter, it's Gold Diggers UK, and on Instagram, it is Gold Diggers UK underscore. And you can find the pods on Apple, you can find it on Spotify, and you can also find them on YouTube. Any other links, just it might be a bootleg version. So just trust those three and maybe a couple more as well, innit? Listen. We have got a Women's World Cup episode today. We've not done an episode since before the tournament started where we were just doing like predictions, what we expected. All we'd seen is like warm-up games and stuff. So yeah, we have to get into it. We might as well start with one of the first controversies or big talking points that's been happening so far in the tournament. And that is penalties and VAR. First of all, Lauren, I think we've seen about 20 million penalties so far. By the time this pod comes out, we may have seen another 15 million. So, first of all, what are your... like? Do you think they're just trying to tell us that VAR is active? Or why do you think so many penalties are happening? Why?
I think it's hard because I think when we... since VAR came into kind of the men's game, we have seen an increase in the number of penalties mm-hmm. that are given. But yeah, I've just felt a bit like, okay. I think for me, there's not... it's weird... there's a lot of penalties, but I think there still isn't consistency in the officiating.
Yeah.
And I think VAR kind of are stepping in a little bit too much. The only thing I'm enjoying is the, my final decision is penalty.
Announcement.
Yeah, like the announcement thing is sick. But I think from a, it's a bit overbearing, and especially because of how they're doing added time by literally any time the ball's out of play, they're adding it on. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, I don't need to see 11 minutes added time because you were doing yet another VAR review and giving yet another penalty. So, yeah, I just think tone it down a little bit. Let's just play the game. Mm. Yeah, without too much involvement.
So you think they're overdoing it? Tiwa, do you agree?
I don't know if maybe at some points, but I do. I mean, most of the penalties that I've seen are penalties.
Okay.
So they haven't. It hasn't really bothered me in terms of that aspect. I think maybe. Similar to your point about the consistency, I feel like you've just got to follow through for all of them because there have been somewhere it's like it should have been used and it wasn't. That's kind of a VAR situation across the board anyway. Mm-hmm. So it kind of swings around on it, but yeah, I get the long extra time thing is mm-hmm. definitely annoying, but I think it's more annoying for us because we're the ones watching in the morning. Them not who aren't watching in the morning, they don't mind that.
No, it's a good point. I agree with you, to be honest. I think most of the penalties that have been penalties, I'll say, yeah, fair enough. Like, okay, most of them
apart from today, Haiti got robbed by VAR.
Other than the Haiti one, I'd say, and maybe one other, like, I'm pretty sure it's been fair. Obviously, it's been a bit like pantomime, a bit like the proper, like, it's so extravagant. Like,
I run the entertainment, man. Run the entertainment, I need that.
But no, it's been interesting because I feel like, especially in recent years, we've only started to see this come through. And we wanted to know how much they were going to use VAR because I feel like in some tournaments it starts and it's like, hello, who's in VAR out? Is it working? Mm. I feel like in the beginning they were trying to let us know, like, don't worry, like, we're working. You don't need to think, like, it was almost like overkill in the beginning to show us that they're working. Yeah. And then now it's like, we just trust that they're going to do their job.
I think they should carry over the announcements though. I fully do feel it. I think it's I need to carry over. I like it.
I'm like, as soon as it's explained to me, I'm like, okay, cool. I found myself not contesting the decision as much as it's being announced.
I get it for... I like the announcements if I was in the stadium, yeah? It's funny on TV because, like... With VAR, yeah, you can already kind of see what decision... It's like, yeah, when we're watching an offside example, yeah. But on TV, they've already shown us the line. So before they actually announce it, you know the line goes red or the line goes green.
Yeah, just for us. Yeah.
But when you're in this, when you're at the games, I remember I was at a game this season that just passed, and there was a VAR decision, and I promise you, 25 seconds had passed and no one in the crowd knew. Sorry. Did he say it's a goal or it's not a goal?
Like, that's the thing. And that's what I'm saying. Like, obviously, for us, we've seen it. We've seen mm-hmm. the video playbacks in Zoe in terms of how people who are at home watching it or wherever they are watching it, it could be a bit overkill. But I think mm-hmm. in general, people who are there, like, well, that's one of the complaints. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going on. So it's like almost like, what is it? The NFL, when they kind of say, when they're talking about the technical fouls and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and they kind of point out what's this. Just do the same thing there. Everyone in the crowd can hear it. And it works.
I hope it's one step closer for us here in the VAR discussion because we do have it in other sports. And I think we just need to understand the decision making that goes into a lot of stuff. I do think though, like when we have like VAR in the WSL or the mm-hmm. Premier League, I feel like the commentators can hear VAR, so they're talking it through. Yeah. I'm not convinced that they can hear like FIFA's VAR. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I think it kind of does help a little bit, but yeah, I mean, I remember like last season in the Champions League, Harry Kane's offside goal right at the end, and you're just as a fan, you're just stood there in silence. You don't really know why it's been disallowed, and then you're just waiting, and all like, it pops up on the screen. So I do think it's helpful.
It is,
and I think we would just get used to it, and it's nice to kind of I think give the like the on field referees back control a little bit at least before, like, they would just be going to the screen and you just know they're going to change their mind, it's going to be overturned. But at least they're kind of, you know, getting a bit involved. But, yeah, they just... Yeah, we know this VAR in the Women's World Cup. Yeah. Thank you for letting us know.
You've made your point, guys. Listen, more has been happening in this World Cup, so we might as well delve into it. We have to start with the teams just not... Like, a lot of teams just not turning up. Specifically, we spoke off-air, but, like, we have to mention Norway here. I think before we did predictions,
they were my we were team
like,
to watch.
Oh, Norway, yeah, they'll top the group. Like, oh, revenge tour, da 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 da. After Euros, they're going to do this.
I even said Gururaitan would be my player to watch.
They might look
worse. As a left winger, by the way.
They might look worse than they did at the Euro. Like, obviously, the 8-0 was skewing people's thought processes here, but I genuinely think they look worse.
Yeah, they do.
Right now.
There's no cohesion.
There's no cohesion.
They don't understand what they're doing
maybe
on
Maria
the pitch.
Maybe Maria Torres-Dos is the glue, man. maybe she was the glue. Let me know your thoughts on Norway.
It's literally just the easiest thing is just disappointing. I mean, even just like the form. I'll use that someone I watch more often. Manum's form has not carried over since at all. Mm. And I'm just like...
She's not the same player.
It's not at all.
Like, the name's on the back of the shirt, but that's not the same
like,
player.
It's just
not.
It's just like... glass. I don't know what's going on. It's just... There's no connection. There's no kind of... She's not even doing her kind of runs. And it's just nothing's really kind of working. And that's not... It's definitely a connection that's not working for the entire team either.
Do you think it's a system thing? Or do you think it's a lack of chemistry with the team thing?
I mean, you could always...
It's a combo.
I think combo because I think the chemistry, I don't think any of them are looking, it's like, it'd be one thing, it was like a few, I don't think any of them have looked any kind of like good.
Yeah.
And it's reflecting in their game. It's just look.
I think for me, like last year at the Euros, it kind of just felt like it was like a system thing. It wasn't the right manager. But I think there's something going on with Hegarisa this time, as in now these players look like they lack complete confidence. They don't feel like they can, they don't look like they feel capable of expressing themselves on the pitch. Obviously, we've seen a lot of the stuff with Graham Hansen and her interviews. Mm-hmm. So I think it has gone a step further in terms of the actual environment is really poor this time round. Maybe the environment was better last year. They just didn't play very well. So they don't look good, but like Gururaitan, cash money, left wing, you know, like we talked about like what makes a good winger. Mm-hmm. Her left foot, cross, Sam Hurst's forehead, bang, goal, 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 goal. So effective.
And you've got a target, you've got someone that you know has peak aerial ability in Hegerberg.
Yeah. Why is she playing as, why is she number eight?
I don't know.
I actually can't understand because at what point is if, for example, Guru Raita and Graham Hansen played on the same side, I think, do you know what? Right, you've got to move her because you need to fit both of them into the team. I'm sorry. She should, she should be on the left wing. And I just think it's stifling everything. The ball's not getting through midfield. I think, like, Engen, I felt a bit sorry for her because she was dropped, but she was, like, hung out to dry. Yeah, in the first game. So there's something that's just not right there, but it looks like an environment thing this time.
It's funny because they all kind of, not all, but a lot of them have come out saying, oh, like, they felt this, they felt like, either saying, so, like, for example, Engen came out after the game and was like, she felt like the midfield was just mad disconnected from the front. And then she said that it helped a lot when Vilda Barisa came on to support, because then it was like two midfields that can hold. But yeah, my thing is, Marnham can hold as that.
You wouldn't want a left winger.
Marnham can hold. The issue, I think, is the synergy between the fact that they don't know their roles in the team. Mm. I feel like at club level, if we look at someone like Guru Raita, like you said, we know she's the left winger. You were mentioning Frida Marnham. We know where she, even though her position changed a couple of times because of injuries, each position she played, she knew what she was doing within that role. It feels to me that they're just going out there, with no proper instruction.
Like, go play. Go win the game.
Bang him in, and it's clear it's not.
And then the problem is as well that, like, I think Hegarisa's struggling to fit them all in the team. I mean, we saw her drop Graham Hansen, which was a shocking decision, to be honest.
Your best player. Your best player. You don't drop because you think, I always think, if you have a team that's not clicking, then you need to have the players on the pitch, like Lauren James, for example, for England, who have individual quality, because they're just going to come up with something and that may win you the game. To drop her, and especially, I think, like, last year, they said that when Hegarisa came in, dropped her from the leadership team, and all of these type of things.
Sounds like a personal thing.
It looks personal, and
proving
I just
a point, which is like, not helping you. The whole point is trying to get through, and you're using personal beef to kind of affect anything.
You can't upset your best player. Sometimes you've got to pander to them because you need your big players unless it comes to like come that, up with big performances.
Unless it comes up, they're evil or something. You can't be beefing. You can't do it.
They're bad.
What is the remedy? Do you know what is there? Obviously, we don't know when this... Well, we kind of know when the pod's going to come out, For all we know, though, it may have come out beforehand. But what is the remedy, if we speak more broadly, what is the remedy for ensuring that Norway make it out of the group? Crickets.
Because I don't think you can ensure it.
Yeah, because the only thing is, like, just... The overarching thing is just... Philippines, that's about it.
Play the best players. Literally. Play the best players in
and
their best
and,
positions.
Yeah, and hope and pray that they're just going to give something. And if the
swallow your pride, play the best people and just let it actually run. Because if not, then you're going to absolutely crash out in the most humiliating way possible.
But I, it wouldn't surprise me if they did crash out, because it's just... Because there's something not quite right behind the scenes, I don't know if you can just fix that, in the space of two or three games between your group games. But it's a shame because, especially Norway, because I feel like so many of their good players actually play in the WSL, so we watch them week in, week out, and they absolutely dominate at the top teams. Mm-hmm. It's just cut it, like, I think it's even more frustrating if you follow the WSL really closely, because you're just like, especially me as a Spurs fan, I keep seeing these players terrorize the team that I play, and I'm watching. I hate the North London Derby or Guru, whatever she's doing. I'm watching you like, nah, sorry, I've seen you score many goals in front of, like, with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just you hope for them because the World Cup's only every, like, 4 years. Mm-hmm. And as players, I think, yes, they need to take responsibility. But as players, they, you know, you just think, players like that, you don't want to see them going home.
We have to talk about another disappointing team, or team that a lot of people have said haven't been turning up. And that's France. It's funny because at the time of filming, they've played one game. Hold that. We have to talk about them.
First point.
We have to talk about what we expected from France and what we saw from France. Lauren, you might as well start us off.
I can't lie. Going into the game, like, obviously it's Jamaica's first game in the World Cup. We feel like a sense of pride. Mm-hmm. But in the back of my mind, I was like, please don't lose 4-5 nil. Please don't lose 4-5 nil.
We thought it might get lost.
Yeah, I thought it could be a cricket scoreline, because we saw France last year, mm-hmm. even with the issues with when they were managed by Diakra, like you know that France have got a lot of talent and a lot of individual ability,
yeah.
and they can click. Mm-hmm. They just didn't click at all, really. It looked like, you know, Katoto has been out for a year, but it looks like she got injured yesterday. The combinations, the patterns of play weren't really there.
Okay.
And like, you know, Jamaica are the team that I'm going to back them hard. Mm-hmm. But a France team that are ranked fifth in the world.
You expect more.
And I think they'll be really, really disappointed. Especially like they then played the whole of added time with an extra player because Bunny Shaw got the red card. I always think the groups that if you're not beating the, you know, the quote unquote smaller nations, and I don't like to use the word smaller, even though Jamaica has the smallest population out of all of the teams, lower ranked teams, mm-hmm. If you're not performing there, then you think, well, how are you when you go to the knockout rounds and you start, playing against the nations which are around your ranking or if not higher. Mm-hmm. I looked at that France team and I thought, you guys are going to struggle.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to say because it's like. It's the difficulty of it only being one game, so there's less to compare it to. But I was looking at it, I was thinking, it should have been, like, with all respect to Jamaica, even though I was gassed. I got the point. It should have been like 4-5-0. Like the way, because I think it was one of those ones where it was like you can turn around and say, ah, it's one of those games, because they were peppering.
Yeah.
Like there was it was like a lot was happening. They should have scored. It didn't happen. So it could have been like, oh, now Jamaica put in so much work. Mm-hmm. If they would have conceded, it would have been evil.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was one of those ones where I feel like everyone was like, no. Let it run as 1-0 and it's calm. So it's one of those ones where it's like, brilliant for Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Heartbreaking. Well, not heartbreaking a bit earlier, but it's like, proper problem that Bunny Shaw got the red card, which is like
especially
because I think the first yellow card wasn't the yellow card, but whatever.
Especially
that late in the game, there was literally no need to do it. So that was like stupidity on her part. But like again, I think of what I'm assuming if France more or less play maybe obviously a bit more clinical like that in the next game, it'd be fine. But if I'm looking at this game, I'm more like, oh, yeah, France are contenders like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know this will come out after France play Brazil tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But if you're a nation, you invite pressure onto yourself if you then don't beat Brazil. Damn. Because then you go into the last game with 1 point.
The stress is there.
And now as well, you're thinking, you're going to have to start relying on other people. You want it to always be on you.
Yeah.
Like, you want it to pretty like, much always
Brazil
be
are going into that game. Hype, they're happy, they're joyous, they're comfy, and they're looking at France. We're looking, oh no, we've got to actually get something like this. Mm-hmm. Like, mad.
Start Kenza Dali, then they'll probably do a lot.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't actually know why she didn't start.
Yeah,
like
she changed the game.
There's certain players here that you need for structure, and Kenza Dali's someone that you need for structure in a team that you know you got a lot of rogue character, like you got a lot of rogue players. That players are just. Like, you got a fullback that is half a left winger and half a fullback. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need structure. You need a base of structure. And Kenza Dali brings that. So
set pieces. When you've got Wendy Renard, why don't you have a specialist set piece?
She's a peak passer. Yeah. Peak set pieces.
Silly decision.
Keeps the ball ticking.
Mm-mm. But even her, though, the set piece that she got on the day was like, this is not good. This is not good. Like,
boy.
Last thing you have to talk about. Her hair's braided, by the way. I'm just saying that. She should bring the fro back.
For not turning up or disappointing us so far has to be one of the hosts, and that is Australia. I want to find out your thoughts on Australia so far. Tiwa.
I mean, me, I'm biased. I'm very happy that they.
What did Australia do to you? What did Australia do to you?
It's not what they did to me. It's how it's them losing is what it's like.
It's what you did to them.
And then my people exploited that. So I'm very happy. In fact, that obviously, like almost like with the Bunny Shaw thing, there's a very gaping hole in the fact that there's no Kerr. Mm-hmm. And that is, and they need to vibrating her up for the next game because it's necessary. But even like the first game they won,
It was a penalty.
There was no kind of sense of, okay, I can see Australia going to like waltz through. Nah, there was no sense of, I don't know. There was just like, they're home. I feel like, it's one of the things where obviously you don't know until you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if they weren't at home and they played like this, they would have just they wouldn't have won this game. And I'm looking at it and thinking, and even in the game against Nigeria, their second goal was like a late. They'd been piling energy and the crowds were on them. Other than that, they were 3-1. They were 3-0 for how long? It was like, like none of these. It's just like I have. They're playing kind of the next. I mean, the home advantage might assist them in that game against Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, I think that personally, unless depending on how bad Kerr is, it's long for them.
Lauren, do you think it has been a home advantage for them, or do you think it's been adding pressure?
I think it would have been home advantage, but the problem is Sam Kerr is the face of the team, face of the tournament. She is the ultimate big game player. She is their captain. She is their leader. And she got injured unexpectedly. And I think...
Match day minus one.
And I think watching them in the first game, it was kind of like, they were like, oh, how do we do this without Sam Kerr? Yeah. And then I think the second game, it was quite obvious that they really are going to struggle to do this without her. And I think the thing about Kerr is that she's usually always available. She actually doesn't get injured that often. Yeah. So every national team, she's there, she's turning up. So it looked like they didn't know how, they haven't worked out how to play without her. But also I think she shoulders a lot of the pressure for the team. She carries that nation on her back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what was supposed to be home advantage, I think they're now suffering because they haven't got some, there's not, you know, even though they've got big players like Caitlin Ford or Steph Catley and these type of things.
There's no pressure release.
Sam Kerr is the person that releases the pressure for them. And I also think defensively, there's mistakes in there because, like, Alana Kennedy, I mean, yeah, she scored, you know, she got the second goal. I mean, she did a season at Spurs. Like, I'm not gonna talk too hard, but if you have, you know, like people in your back line who you know are going to give the opposition 2 or 3 clear-cut chances every single game, it actually then means you need to be able to outscore.
Yeah.
And without Sam Kerr, they're not able to do that.
I was going to ask, do you think that Australia have ever had to find a way to play without... Do you think almost their whole setup is geared towards Sam Kerr being there? Even if she's not the goal scorer that day...
100%, because she's always fit. Yeah,
that's the thing. Even in games that are against opposition that they don't need to play her, she still plays. So I remember, like, even when they announced that she was injured, everyone was like, who's going to play strike? Is it going to be Caitlin Ford? Is it going to be Mary Fowler? Is it going to be... They're even thinking, boy, we might have to bring... They were thinking, would it be one of the wingers or will it be a 10? Where are your other strikers? First of all, do you know what I mean? You're telling me there's one strike in Australia?
This is where I don't really like the word over reliance, but this is where it is. But it's like, you should rely on her. She's the god. But it's like, there's a limit to how much you should be. It shouldn't be a thing where if she comes out, there's literally feels like there's like just nothing.
Yeah.
No ideas. Everything's like, but oh, it
is.
It's
a void of nothing. Yeah. Like it actually is watching that Australia team.
Because I was watching it. Because like even when it was like when they got back to 3-2, in my head I'm thinking, if Kerr was there, I would have been.
I believed that they were going to get terrified.
I would have been terrified. Oh, sugar.
But your heart could be a bit at ease, isn't it? That's the thing. Listen, we mentioned a lot about Sam Kerr there and the impact of her injury. As I'm looking at her face on the sidelines, she will not be fit. Like, I'm not saying she won't play in game three. A calf strain cannot recover in that time. For game number three,
When she comes in, it's either are they going to start or they're going to run her on about 60 minutes.
There's no quick start. My thing is, we know she's injured. If the injury is severe,
as they say,
she can't start. Because my thing is, if she can last 20 minutes and that 20 minutes comes in the beginning, it is pointless.
And she pulls, something,
If you're going to risk her, I would not risk her. But the problem is they've put themselves into a hole now.
They have to.
As soon as Nigeria won that game, I said, they're rushing Sam Kerr back. If they'd planned their business, they would not have to rush Sam Kerr back.
They wouldn't need her to the round of 16.
They wouldn't.
Yeah.
Even if that game was a draw, they wouldn't have needed to rush Sam Kerr back. Because the problem now is that, for them, is that Nigeria are on 4 points. And that was because of the 3 points they got that game. If that game was a draw, Australia would be on 4 and Nigeria would be on 2. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. Then you wouldn't have to rush Sam Kerr back. Mm. But now,
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's a case of they will rush her back.
I know she's gonna
but yeah, she's going to want to play. She knows her country needs her.
Number one, she knows her country needs her. And number two, how the hell am I gonna get a home World Cup? Yeah.
I'm the face of the World Cup, and I'm not gonna touch the pitch.
She's
yeah.
She's gonna I know Chelsea fans are crying right now.
Spurs-Chelsea first game of the season. Carry on playing, Sam.
It's them that's going to deal with the repercussions of this. Do you know what I mean?
This moment in time is country of a club. Sorry. She's touching pitch. Whether you like it or not, she's touching pitch.
And it should be in the second. It should be somewhere near. It depends, yeah. But my thing is, yeah, if... Not if you've got any shame, but if the team has any... Do you know what I mean? If the team has something about them, yeah?
If they have... Yeah, it's shame.
Get it done. Get it done for her.
If they have shame, all of them, by whatever nonsense they have in a... Use all their energy. They must win that without her there. Because I know Canada are Canada, but like, you're at home and you have the possibility of risk of aggravating an injury for your star player because you guys couldn't do your job.
But that's the problem though. Canada are quite solid defensively. Canada's problem is they haven't been able to score. Oh, so they're solid defensively. This whole, we know Australia don't really have a backup striker. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Will that Australia team be able to get the goals past a solid Canada, the Olympic champions, past a solid Canada defence? So it could be a case of maybe it's 70 minutes, it's nil-nil.
Canada are missing some important players. Right? Obviously, we know that Ashley Lawrence got injured in the first game. If we look at someone like a Janine Becky, for example, that we know is a huge miss. Not only in terms of like what she brings on a football pitch, but also leadership, experience, Top. She's played at the top level. She's played at the top level in important games, Champions
League.
She's part of the spine. Everyone knows what you're getting with Janine Becky. That's someone they're missing hugely. Jessie Fleming, obviously, do you know what I mean? Her minutes have been restricted as well. So we don't know what's going on with Canada right now. We're going to have to see. We'll come back to that one. But we have to mention the big injury that happened today. Hot off the press. Yeah, everyone's sighing. Everyone's down in the dumps. Listen, Kira Walsh. It was the game against... Who did England play today? They played...
Denmark.
Perfect. They played Denmark. She goes to slide. You saw the jerk. As soon as it jerked,
I got my phone out and I tweeted Kira Walsh injury with finish.
Yeah.
Because she's the one player you can't lose.
She's the one player we can't lose. Like, we spoke about it before the game. We were talking about who is the game changer, who the game changers in each team. And we all said for England, Kira Walsh is she's the one person they do not have a replacement for in that squad. Obviously, listen, we know it's a squad of 23. We know they got a lot of players.
They're not at her level.
They don't have a player, and they're not at her level. Mm-hmm. Number one, yeah. But also, very few of them actually play that position, holding position. And other teams know that other teams have come out in the past and said, yeah, the game plan was to stop Kira Walsh getting the ball. Right now, and you could tell when the injury happened. Boy. Everyone's mind was like...
My mind? I just wanted to... I couldn't even focus.
Where's we going from here? What are we missing? So, obviously, we don't know the outcome of the injury. All we know is that...
It's been labelled as serious.
Yeah, so...
It's been labelled as serious. She said, my knee, I've done my knee. Mm. So, we know it's something to do with her knee. Obviously, it's not looking good. With everything that's happened this season in women's football with knee injuries, obviously, it's not looking good. Mm. We're hoping it's not the worst, but we'll see. But I just wanted to ask you, Lauren, what are we going to miss from not having Kira Walsh in this side?
Control and somebody who controls the game for England. Mm-hmm. Everything goes through. I won't even just say for England. Like, even her impact at Barcelona, when she came off in the Champions League final, Barcelona lost control of the semi-final. Barcelona lost control. So you look and think what she does, everybody looks for her. Mm-hmm. And also... the defence look for her to give her the ball because they know that she's unpressable. And also, the wingers know, oh, Kira's on the ball, I'm going to make my run.
Yep.
She starts so many plays in the position that she plays. Mm-hmm. And it's not even a case if we don't have a replacement. Many nations wouldn't, because there are very few players in the world that can do what she does in her position.
Yep.
So I think it's not necessarily like a big leadership thing, but like, you know, yeah, Georgia Stanway is a very good six. We've seen her do it for Bayern Munich.
We're also losing a part of Georgia Stanway playing as a six. We're losing her as an eight.
Yeah.
Because she is our best box to box by far. By the way. By far. Yeah. It's not close.
Yeah.
By far the best eight in the team.
And it's hard because like Laura Coombs came on and like, you know, no disrespect to her. It's not like she had a terrible game, but she just can't. Like it just that midfield just looks different. Mm-hmm. And I think so much of the play, to the point that the opposition tactics are always, if we mark Kira Walsh, we know that we can maybe get something from the game. Losing her, she's just one of those players that she's irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. And I think when you've got these, like, you know, these talismanic figures in mm-hmm. your team and then you lose them, I think self-doubt creeps in. You're like, how are we supposed to? Because the whole reaction online, my reaction was, I don't know how England's supposed to do this without her. And I think even as a player, to lose somebody that you can trust wholeheartedly on the pitch to do their job better than anybody else on the pitch, mm-hmm. It's just peak. Like, I hope the injury for Kira isn't too serious. And it's hard because it's like this is the World Cup. This is a chance to get more kind of commercial investment in women's football. Yep. But we also need to invest in player welfare, because if it is the worst, how many players are already missing mm-hmm. From this tournament? Yep. And how many will we see miss the beginning of next season because the fatigue continues to set in? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just such a shame, because if it is the worst, it's not just losing her for this tournament. We know we may not see her for a whole season. Yeah. And that's really sad, because players as good as her, you want to watch them.
Mm-hmm. I'll end on this bit on you, just saying how you think injuries are going to continue impacting like teams this tournament, basically.
I mean, you see it, if we're just even just using that example, the domino effects can happen, because like in our case, it's you've lost your best six, your best player, you've now moved your best eight down to six. Mm. Domino now is moving everyone.
It's literally the
state of confusion. You look at the injury, like we just spoke about with Kerr, the talismanic figure of like, you've now lost your best striker and everyone looks confused, and it's something that keeps happening. Mm-hmm. People who get injuries now, and it's like a twist of evil fate that it tends to be always. Obviously, this is not like pick and choose of like favorites, but it's like
it's not like the worst player shouldn't.
Like, yeah, it's not like we're advocating for the worst players to get it, but it just keeps happening to be the better ones, big ones, and it's like it's just all a bit mad, and it's also looking into why was the pit so dry that it happened in the first place.
Yes,
it's just all a state of just negligence.
Yeah, no, completely agree. Listen, we might as well, since we're talking about Kira Walsh's impact, go into England and how they performed in their first two games. Listen, the first game wasn't much to write home about. Do you know what I mean? I thought Haiti performed well. What were you guys' thoughts on Haiti, first of all, in that game?
I think Haiti PMP'd the crap out of England.
Yeah.
Mm. And it was very evident when it comes to this kind of just hilarious thinking about England just kind of being, looked like they were getting bullied.
Mm.
And that was like, again, it was. I think a lot of teams also have a thing about, what's the word, chemistry seems to be off.
Yeah.
It's off. And either that is just, it's like, We got the penalty for that one, even better to retake it, which is a whole thing in and of mm-hmm. itself. But that house is there. But it was just like, you were struggling. Again, no disrespect to Haiti. We were struggling against Haiti. And then you kind of walk into this game against Denmark. And it was, again struggling. And bar, like, the bit just before and after Laura James' goal. That bit was brilliant. But then I've made the point even after.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before, it was like, she scored a long-range goal and everyone was like, cool, I'm on it. Long range, like,
yeah.
No, that's one was trying to actually just play, just letting off. It's like,
yeah,
it was early, it was too early to be just flinging in shots all over it. And then, but even as a kind of like synergy of how the attack has been playing, just it's just not clicking at all. Because a lot of the, you got Chloe Kelly, who I think has been moving a bit mad. She refused to actually be a winger. And it's
You're just kind of a winger, Chloe.
And she won't do it. Because people, I mean, people will bring up Russo and like how she's been playing. And she's been, don't get me wrong, she's been playing kind of eh as well, bar like the run that she had today, which is really good, but whatever. But it's like, you know what she needs to kind of be able to kind of impact the game.
We spoke about this.
And the wingers ain't doing it. And if they're not doing it, they're also getting in the pockets where she likes to play in. It's like, it's very confused. It's like, no one is making, they're not talking, it's confusion. And even when they kind of take her off, and it didn't exactly look better when they brought on Bethany, it was like, just,
We spoke in the last pod about whether this England side works for strikers, basically, if the play is set up for strikers. I think we were talking the last time about the fact that we've got some shoot happy and shoot first wingers. And that often doesn't work with the type of forwards that we have. The kind of forward that works with, it probably works for Beth England more, that can poach, because like when they're shooting,
because her positioning
then,
is,
you know what I mean? And then the keeper spills it. Beth England's there in 1 second flat. But the personnel we're playing, it doesn't work as much. It doesn't work. Lauren, I was going to ask, do you think that the combinations that England have been playing in terms of like, this, these wingers with this forward or these fullbacks with this, do you think it's worked for? Because that was one of the things that we spoke about, combination.
Yeah, play. I think the combination for the Denmark game, better. I think begrudgingly, I feel a bit sorry for Rachel Daly kind of getting moved back to left back, but it did help because it meant we could shift Alex Greenwood back to the middle. And I think Rachel, like, because Lauren Jones, I really think should be starting ahead of Tunis the 10. But if she, when she is cutting inside, it just meant that Daly could overlap. So it, that was working. And I think that that relationship and a lot came down from England's left. I think kind of Chloe Kelly and Lucy Bronze, despite playing at Man City for quite a while, they just, it just seems a bit, like I'm just watching them like you guys need to work together down that right hand side. But yeah, and there just seems to be like, but I think this is the problem, because Toon is not in her best period of form, the number 10 needs to then be able to link everything together and find those pockets of space. And because she's not in her best form, it just feels a little bit disjointed.
Yeah,
and then
when she's playing well, like she plays that 10 role very well, but she's
and
not
then she
playing
can slip
well
in
right
the
now.
Likes of Russo. Yeah, and I just think it's just a big, you know, it's a big gaping hole in kind of what England are trying to do. And because her, like, because she's just not being that effective, I do think it's then causing Lauren James or Lauren, like, or Lauren Hemp or Chloe Kelly to come inside even more because like Toon is not like commanding that space that she should be in. So
then,
yeah,
when we consider that, because then you're saying that they're coming inside, Toon is also there. Unless Arisa is dropping deep, and that's, you know, they're all
basically in the same area. And it's
Because in the cross and there's
no
one there.
There's no one in the box, and then she's out of position.
And now freaking what's her name? Millie Bright.
Yeah.
Now she's having to do more, and she's clearly not all the way fit for to be asked to do more than she. And it's ripple effects, just like pulling everything out all over the place.
I think the big issue is that the opposition are working out where England's weaknesses are, but we're doing the same thing over and over again. Because I look, I think like Pernilla Harder at some point just became like, she just took the left inside forward position because she knew if they turned over the ball, Lucy Bronze would never be there covering that position. Yep, she knew Millie Bright wasn't fit. So she knew 1v1, I'm going to take her on. So it just looked a little bit, I just think England need a plan B, like Lauren Hemp. You can't just knock it past your fullback and run after it.
It's not working.
This is the World Cup. So I just think that it's too one-dimensional. Which last year it was great because, you know, some of these players were impact players. People didn't really know who they were on the global stage. And I said this in the group chat. Now you've put yourself into the limelight and people know who you're about and people are now doing their research. You need to find the next level in your game.
Yeah.
And I think we're just not seeing that. And it's just looking a bit, looking a bit disjointed. But I'm happy Lauren James started because it was kind of like, you need a player with individual brilliance because if it's not working, you know, and Lauren James did what she needed to do. And it's hard because it's complaining, you know, job done, two clean sheets. But I think, you know, when you're in a major tournament, you're thinking, is this team capable of winning the tournament? And watching England, maybe the, up until the Walsh injury, I think, oh, maybe they're getting their mojo back.
But then,
but yeah, it just, it went away. And then by, like, you know, certainly 75 minutes, you're like, this team isn't capable of winning the tournament.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just very kind of underwhelming.
So
at least Beth England got minutes though.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, claps. So I'm gonna quickly ask you before I move on to the next one. I'm gonna quickly ask you guys your starting four. So your 10, your left winger, your right winger, and your striker. Who would they be? For England.
My 10, based on current form, my 10, Lauren James. My left winger, Hemp. My right winger, Chloe Kelly. And people will say I have an agenda, but I would, the first cross that Daly put in when Beth English, she got on the end of it. Yeah, the header was off target. But when, if you are using your wide players and they are trying to cross the ball, you, one thing that Beth England will give you, the reason why she scores so many goals is her positioning is exceptional. Mm-hmm. She will always be in and around the box. She will get herself into the right position mm-hmm. to affect the play. And I just think Russo can do that, but she's not doing that currently.
I was going to say, because my initial one was going to be that lineup, but with Russo. Mm-hmm. But the more you're talking about with the kind of the wingers that we, it's... Russo can, like I said, she can be, but she wants to be deeper and running in mm. as opposed to like being there to kind of like nibble off scraps. Mm. So in terms of like that and how we've actually been playing, I think your form makes the most sense. Me bias, I want Russo to kind of get a goal. So yeah,
I think she scored in the next game. You know me, I'm a big Russo fan, man. So listen, you know I am.
She frustrates me because I know that the talent is
it's there.
It's there.
What's the word? The environment has to kind of allow it.
Yeah, everything has to fit, basically. Like, it, we know she's going to want to drop deep, and we know that her and Toon will be near each other at some points. But if that's going to be the case here, then the wingers need to come inside the box. Mm-hmm. Not come inside as in central to the pitch. They need to make their runs into the box.
Exactly. And Toon needs to overlap more.
Yeah.
And run into the box.
We saw at United last season, a lot of the times, Leo Galton was the one that was running into the box. And Russo wasn't even there. And that's okay as long as you're interchanging. I think they need to get the interchanging pattern sorted. We need to keep an eye on England. Obviously, they're probably going to top the group.
They're probably going
to top the group. Like, yeah, I think they'll be fine. We'll see what happens in the next round, isn't it?
Like, yeah, I think it's all about the knockout stage. You see if we're just like chatting for chatting's sake and they actually pick up.
Yeah, I mean, but I look and think... Okay, say England top the group, and it's, for example, it's a Nigeria, like Nigeria come second, and that's the round of 16. My big concern is, it's another 90 minutes that Millie Bright can play, but if I'm Oshoala, I'm just going to go stand on Millie Bright because I don't blame her. Like, this is not me saying, because I think Millie Bright is one of the best defenders in the world, actually. Yeah,
she's probably one of the best in the world.
Yeah, she's just not match fit, and I think you're taking a big risk. Because there isn't a huge amount of pace in the back line.
They're trying to play
her
into form.
Yeah. And I get it. And she's the leader and you need her experience in the back line. But like, because she's next to Lucy Bronze, who you know will be at the touchline attacking the play, you just think it's a big risk.
Defensive striker, winger, midfielder.
Yeah, like it's just... and that's where I think game management, and it's kind of like, you need to understand that your teammate's not 100% match fit. And you need to, rather than... Then take it like doing the glory cross or the pass or wherever it is. Just hang back a little bit.
Yeah.
Just hang back.
She's not doing that though, but yeah.
Serena needs to tell her. But yeah.
Listen, it's not all doom and gloom. This World Cup, we've seen a lot of standout performances. We're gonna talk about four countries in particular. The first being Spain. Thoughts on Spain, guys. We'll do interchanging, but like you feel free to like chip in the line. So Lauren will do Spain.
Spain are probably, as a national team, one of my favourites to watch because the way that they, like, people always call the Spanish league the Farmers League, but the technical ability, like to have so many players with such a high level of technical ability, the way they control possession, like one or two touch football, it's just fantastic to watch.
Completely agree.
And then because they've got players I'd sit there at home watching Bob Matty and I'm screaming at my telly, I'm 8 years old, like, oh my god, my hero, like she's unbelievable. I feel like she's loading her Ballon d'Or season at the moment. But they've got individual brilliance, but also we've spoken so much about we're not seeing teams with cohesion. Spain are showing cohesion, and I think Jenny Hermoso has kind of come back into the fold.
Yep.
And you see the difference because she understands her role in the team, and there are relationships within
she feels
that.
Like she's back at Barca.
Yeah, yeah. Like honestly, and maybe that helps because most of the players do come from Barca, Real Madrid, a couple from Atletico. Maybe it helps because they are playing week in, week out.
Yeah.
But like we wax lyrical, for example, about Onabache in the WSL and how good she is. Like everybody in that Spain team is near enough at that level. Yeah, like they are,
not too much now.
But no, they've been really good. Like I feel, they could score more goals than they have done.
Yeah.
But in terms of turning up to the tournament and realizing that you're at a World Cup, especially with the whole drama of Las Quinte and people dropping out, it doesn't look like it's affected them. Mm-hmm. And they're doing what they're doing. And Puteas didn't start the first game. She did 45 minutes of the second game. Like when they need, when they need to use her. I think they'll go far.
Tiwa, I'm gonna ask you about Germany. Thoughts on Germany so far?
Germany are on what they like. You know, we have using the whole revenge tour for Pop. Bethany. Yeah, Pop is like she's saying this is it. Well, I'm on this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Pop will show you again, a team that's actually looks like synergy's there. They all know what's up. Again, one game is one of those ones where it's like, we can't. But they looked so fine and so good in that one game. It's like,
there's something about a German national team. They're like, major tournament, I'm ready.
It goes across the board. And it's so like, yes. And then, like I said, like, Pop, Ball, they're on this. And they're showing it. The system works. It's unlike with some other teams. They know who's there. They know people, their roles. No one's kind of like looking like they're kind of confused. It's working. And it's like, now we're aiming for the title. We got... Maybe they feel hard done by the last thing. Including the Euros, they say it's not happening again.
So you think they're equipped this time around, yeah?
I think so. I think it's not obviously not going like we said. We've got Spain in there, but I feel like Germany.
Yeah, because they'll win the physical battle. Yeah. For example, if they come up.
They've got the tech there as well as the kind of the dominating things like and I want this.
They do look really impressive. Mm. Lauren, I'm going to ask you about Brazil, another team that's been spoken about hugely and widely.
Samba football, Marta.
Listen.
Yeah, Spain are one of my favourite teams, but Brazil in a World Cup, men or women, you're finding time and you're sitting down and watching Brazil play. Yep. Like they are, it's the form of expression. Like it was watching women on the pitch who are just enjoying their football. Mm-hmm. They look like they were playing with their mates. Like, the pressure wasn't, they don't show the pressure. They just come out and they play football. And then you're doing, the telly because the tricks, the flicks, like.
The epitome of playing with a smile on your face. Like they're just balling out. Like what was the second goal? That was just like, they were just they were ruining people.
You're just like, what? Honestly, they're so good. And obviously, Ari Borja, she scored the hat trick. Again, they're a combination of people that will have brilliant individual performances, but they understand and there's a chemistry there. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think it comes from this squad. It comes from a chemistry of, this is Brazil, football is our sport. And it comes from that. It's that mentality that they have. Yeah, and they're good to watch.
When it comes to playing national teams, like, nothing else. This is the country we're looking at now.
Yeah, and you think if Brazil have to play France, if France come out and perform how they perform, Brazil will just wipe the floor with her. Yeah. And like props to Marta, man, because I don't remember watching a World Cup without her in it. she is there, and legend. And seeing that kind of crossover with the new generation are kind of coming through. But there's so much respect for what that woman does. Mm-hmm. And to see her, even if she came on as a sub, but she was there 95th minute pressing all over the pitch. Yep. It's about setting standards. And we talk about leadership and lack of leadership and some, teams having their leaders injured.
Mm-hmm.
Like Marta epitomizes what it means to be a footballer, all of the resilience, to get to a Women's World Cup and to do it 6 times.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm still watching Rafaela, even though she's not here anymore.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it hurts. How do you think United fans scored? Drop me out. The final country I'm gonna ask you about that has been amazing so far, one of the standouts has to be Japan. They're already through to the knockout stages. Obviously, we don't know if they're going to finish first or second, but they're through to the knockouts at this point. What have you thought about them? Like, not not in terms of like specific players, but what have you thought about them in terms of what they've shown?
I think this is, again, it's the same thing with all the teams we've mentioned, Brazil, Spain, Germany, they've all got that same thing coming. It's like, they're not playing about confusion.
Yep.
They're playing in terms of like, we know what's up. Mm-hmm. We know how we're going to play. We know who's going to, and we know how to kind of go with it. And that's exactly the same thing that happened in Japan. That everyone knows how they're going. Everyone knows how they're playing. No one's looking kind of like, it's literally the same thing as German efficiency, which is Japanese.
Mm.
And it's like, not shocked. Who have they got in there?
Japan, Spain to see who
and that will be excellent. And that will be an excellent game.
Yeah, because Japan won't tire, you know.
They won't tire. They both got technical
players there. Like, it's not going to be a case of like, oh, because it's all people who may not maybe like know the countries, or they're assuming, or they're coming in with the male bias of like assuming that because it's Spain, Japan are going.
It's not Tanaka at your peril.
This is tech versus tech efficiency, and it's like chemistry. And again, there's no tiredness.
Yeah,
they know exactly how to do it. They're going to play full 90 plus, with the added 12 minutes that will probably happen.
Yeah,
because you know VAR and everything. They'll play it all, and it'll be a match that I don't think it'll be high scoring, but it'll be brilliant to watch. And I don't think anyone will be like annoyed or pissed or shocked, depending on who comes out as the winner, if any winner actually happens from that game.
And Japan have been here; they're doing it. They never get I think because they're an Asian team, they never get the media coverage. They never get the kind of like the big run up and the spotlight like America do or some of the European teams. But they're every tournament they have a good tournament, and. Yeah, there's just succession with them in the way that they play. Like, it's just kind of... Honestly, like I say, if you watch Japan and they didn't have the time on the board, when you watch them, you wouldn't know if it was minute one or minute 95.
Same because thing, entirety.
They're so the consistent whole time, across a football match. And it would be a really good game. And to see who wins the battle of possession, because two possession-based teams, one of them will have to play out of possession, so it'll be interesting.
I was going to do a last bit on celebrations, but just so we get enough time for listeners' questions, I'm just going to go through some of the ones that we said were our favourite. Listen, Nigeria's celebrations against Australia. Obviously, listen, there's two Nigerians here right now. So I'm not trying to be biased. That had to be there. Like, Lauren, like, what did you think of, like, when you saw the celebrations, what did you think?
Iconic. I feel like one thing I don't like generally, if you're going to take off your shirt, and I, this is more so men's football, you should only remove it for an iconic moment in a piece of history, that's something that's happened where you have to recognise the moment. Richarlison, I'm talking about you. Like, you. And I just thought, you know what, to see an African woman, to see a black woman say, I'm here. This is the first African woman to score in three World Cups. Yeah. That this isn't some, you know, some small nation or some small player like we sometimes hear on commentary. This was somebody saying, like, to do that to the host of the tournaments, the one of the favorites probably for the tournament, to in that moment to come off the bench, like, it was just kind of like, I think those are the moments where you realize why you love football, where you're just like,
and it's showing the epitome of, like, you see the way we're talking about Sam Kerr. I'm sure I had that exact same thing that we were seeing. She touched the pitch and they looked terrified.
They
looked terrified.
Serious aura.
Then they try to abuse the second goal scorer, but we'll let that one go because you lost, so it's calm.
Boy. Listen, we're talking about celebrations here. some of our other favourite celebrations had to be Colombia's celebrations after Linda Caicedo scored were phenomenal. And also Brazil celebrations as well. Those were probably the three that we discussed. If there were any more that anyone has, no? If not, all good, because we've got listeners' questions.
And maybe more of the end celebration of when the time full time at Jamaica France.
Can you just see what it means? Yeah. I think it was like for me, like, I was like.
I was gassed.
But yeah, like, you're just, I think when you see these historic moments, like we talk about Brazil, Ari Borja, she scored the first of her hat trick. Like, she was in tears. And you realize, like, these big moments, and
they mean
a lot. You may not, like, you know, the World Cup is great for seeing players who you don't really know because they play in a league that you don't really watch.
Mm-hmm.
But like, celebrations are sometimes a way to connect with a team, or because you just get an idea of it, like, it's meant a lot to get to this kind of moment. So yeah, more celebrations, please. I mean, a lot of these games are like 1-0, so we need some more goals. So we see some more celebrations.
We're gonna get onto listeners' questions. We actually have enough time today. We've got 7 minutes basically.
Yes, ma'am.
To do listeners' questions. So some of them I'm just gonna get one of you to answer, but then the ones that will be both, I just say they're both. Marva, shout out Marva first of all. Asked, and I want you both to answer this. Said, how are groups B and D ending? That's the first part of our question. I'm gonna say who's in group B first of all, and then you guys say how it's ending. So Nigeria have 4 points right now, Canada have 4 points, and Australia have 3 points. So they're the only three that can get through. Mm. Yeah. Nigeria play Ireland on the final game. No.
Yes.
Yes, Nigeria play Ireland and
the Guinness
Australia
Derby.
Play, yeah. And Australia play Canada. So, no, shout out that Guinness.
That day they'll find out who's got the best Guinness.
Lauren, who is finishing top of this group?
So
Nigeria, Canada, Australia, Ireland.
I'm gonna say Nigeria, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Nigeria have enough to win the game.
Tua?
See, now these people burn me enough. I'm gonna they've burned me too many times for me to say Nigeria top it. So I'm gonna go over Australia.
They may only need a draw, to be fair.
Yeah.
To top it.
I feel like Canada and Australia is gonna be it's not gonna be a draw. So I feel like yeah.
So you think Australia's gonna top the group? Okay, and who's finished the second in the group?
Australia.
Nigeria.
Sweet. Marva also asked about Group D, which is England, Denmark, China, Haiti. England have 6 points. And their final game is against China. Who tops that group?
I think England.
England top.
And who goes through second for
you? How many did Denmark have?
So Denmark have 3 points and they're playing Haiti. Haiti have 0 points, but they can finish on three. So they can still go through. And then China have 3 right now.
I think England will top because I think they'll beat China.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know the specifics of goal difference.
I'm gonna assume 1-0, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, the whole thing.
If Haiti beat Denmark 1-0, they'll be level on goal difference. And then it will be head-to-head. So if Haiti beat Denmark and England beat China, Haiti will go through.
Denmark haven't been impressed with me. I think the opportunity for Haiti to actually potentially get out of the group, plus the way they've played in the other two games, and they were hard done by in the game against China. I think they'll win that. I'm going to say Haiti.
Lauren?
I'm going to say Haiti because I think Devona needs to have her moment and I think it's coming and she should have scored today. So I'm going to say, yeah.
Okay, so England, Haiti. Second part of Marva's question was, and if it's England versus Nigeria, who's winning with an eyes emoji?
With my chest, I'm saying Nigeria will slap up England.
Ooh. Slap up?
I said slap.
You sure?
I said Oshana's going to have the chest.
On the record,
Agba Bola is there. She's going to come for Minute Right.
On the
right.
Record. Listen, we're trying to see Ashley Pumpter dancing in
the... Wait, see? Anything that will come for that?
Lauren, who... If it's England versus Nigeria, who's winning that? Lauren will give us an unbiased decision, man. This one's moving off emotion.
England extra time.
I'll take that to be fair. Cool. Another question we have is from African Child 654. And they said, how long do you think the England defence can hold on as they progress further in the tournament? Lauren, we'll get you to answer
How long can they
hold out? So like they've not conceded any goals so far.
Oh, until they play a good clinical team. So whenever that match comes, probably round of 16.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, like Haiti could have had 2 or 3 goals. Denmark should have scored 2 or 3 goals today. So like the defence is making mistakes. Yeah, so.
Philippa asked, who has to... Shout out Philippa also, sorry. And shout out African Child, sorry. Didn't shout you out, but just sorry, yeah. Philippa asked, who has surprised you guys the most so far? We kind of answered in terms of teams. If there's a player, if you've got another team or a player that has surprised you the most too, please let us know.
I don't know about, I mean, surprise, I'm going to stick with the whole thing with Keep It With Jamaica. I thought Spence had been brilliant in goal. Again, one game, sorry, whatever. But in that game, I thought she was brilliant. I thought she did really good. She surprised me because I don't rate her at all in the Red Devils outcome.
Wow,
I don't
rate her at all.
I don't really rate her for Spurs. So I was actually genuinely quite sure. I was like, she did really well. I'm like, I think, nah. In fact, the entire defensive unit of Jamaica.
Okay, love that. I'm going to ask this question. Either one of you can answer this. Flo, Lord Hughes said, why is Group D so dead compared to the others? Where are the vibes? That's the group that England are in. So England, Denmark, China, Haiti. Where's the vibes?
They're all 1-0.
Dry.
Yeah, it's dry. They'll have a wall chart, you know. And literally, all of the home teams, the same result, 4 times, 1-0.
Yeah. The goal difference even in that group, yeah, is England have the most with 2.
Yeah.
And they play 2 games. It's so 2, insane. Then Denmark's goal difference is 0, China's goal difference is 0, and Haiti's goal difference is -2.
I think you have got 4 nations who are not clinical.
Yeah.
And that's the issue, and I think England should be embarrassed because they shouldn't be included in the
first open play goal in how long?
Yeah, today, it's dry. It's boring.
There's 2 questions here that I'm gonna read, and I just want a yes or no from you, just for time. James asked, "Is Lucy Bronze finally past it?"
No.
Lauren said no, but if you're listening and you're not watching, yeah, there was so much hesitation and her face was quivering. Let me just tell you that. So if you listen, make of that what you will.
She's not past it.
Yeah, she ain't there yet.
She just doesn't have it in her legs to get up and down in the way that she used to.
The line. She's like she's creeping. She ain't there yet.
Yeah. Mathieu is coming for your place. Sorry,
boy. Another question from James that's going to be a yes or no from you both is: would you start Sophia Smith as the 9 instead of Alex Morgan?
Yes.
Tua said yes. Lauren?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Alex
Morgan is giving Ellen White. Why are you always so sorry?
Isn't that your legend?
Legend can be on the bench.
First legend. Sorry. If you can't stay on side, hold the bench.
Do you think we're going to see any... Oh, sorry. I'm trying to get the name right.
Shout out to
Cheeky Docs. Said, do you think we're going to see any more massive scorelines this World Cup?
Who's left in the group stages?
I think we might see. We're going to see a couple more.
Because
there's a couple teams that aren't good.
Yeah, like respectfully saying, some of them aren't good enough.
I don't think
Zambia. Was Zambia?
Zambia's not even bad, bro. But like,
yeah, you got Morocco.
They're not bad, but they're getting slapped. Yeah, Morocco.
Who else has been getting pammed? Panama, Vietnam.
Panama's gonna.
They're all gonna hold something more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. There'll be a handful left.
But I would make the point though that we are seeing it like even the level of the level of investment from 2019 to now. You can see that we're not having like 10 nils like regularly and then, you know, people clicking it and be like, ha, when it's football. Like, you know, the games are competitive. Even in the ones where they have been kind of like 4 or 5 nil, it's not like the nations have been rubbish. There's just a difference in quality.
Yeah, it's almost like what's the thing they always say, floodgates open. It's like they're really good and it's like, it just kind of energy drops like, and then it just kind of happened as opposed to like, they'll crap the whole game.
Okay. And we got one final question. Well, it's the final question I'm reading out. And that is, do you know what I mean? That is from Stina Season. First of all, congrats, Stina Season, that you got the final question. And that is, despite having good enough forward/wing depth, do you still think that England are missing the consistency in those positions of Beth Mead?
Is it consistency or just people who actually want to play the position properly?
I think it's consistency, though, because it's a... I think they mean it in relation to like with her. Yeah, we know. Yeah, she's either going to play well or she's going to score or she's going to do both.
But we spoke about this in the wingers. Beth Mead is the only winger who has output.
Yeah, who won't just...
output in abundance. Yeah. And
like she can cross, she can take on her player, and she can score. You're not getting assist. You're not getting that combo like footwork, the combo is not easy to find.
Yeah,
it's not every day trying to force to be centre as well. So she will actually give you the variety.
Yep. Yeah. And I also don't think we've got that many pure wingers. Like we discussed this before. Like we got Chloe Kelly, Lauren Hemp, and after that, like Lauren James. I wouldn't even say she's a winger, a pure winger.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
can play on the wing because she's a very good player technically, yeah. But she's not a pure winger. The only other pure winger we got is Katie Robinson, and she ain't like her minutes are going to be low
zero.
To nothing.
Unless there's another injury, zero.
Yeah, like low to nothing.
Yeah, touch wood.
So like, yeah, I do think we are missing. Like, I'll even answer on that one. Like, I think we're missing the consistency of Beth. I don't know if you guys agree.
No, like, I completely because she's like, I think. The best wide players in the world are the ones who are decisive. The ones who also, like, from their position, you're like, rah, they just broke a WSL record. Yeah. Or they broke this record. They broke this. They go and win golden boots or whatever it is from wide areas because they're decisive. And, like, I think Lauren Hemp and Chloe Kelly are very, very good at what they do, but their output is just
I think maybe it's the wording used because I'd use that as more saying I think her quality is just above them. So
and
it's
I hear
the,
it.
It's just a removal of her quality.
But also, like, you see, like, for example, we were talking today and you were like, yeah, Chloe Kelly's been
she's doing wing some man. Stuff.
But this is my point, though. You're saying Chloe Kelly, but there's no alternative.
Yeah.
Like, so right now...
Yeah, I didn't hesitate for Chloe Kelly
in the thing.
Chloe
Kelly
or Katie Robinson.
So it's Chloe,
because Nikita Paris is at home. Sorry.
The lack of pace of them was very annoying as well. I'm not going to lie.
We spoke about this the last time. I'm not... She should have gone.
Yeah,
I'll be honest, because like, especially because Lauren, you're even saying right now, Kate Robinson's not going to play. So if that's the case,
yeah, I don't get why that.
And this
sense.
Is not about it's good to have for her to have that experience. There's like seven other people that this is their first World Cup. Do you know what I mean? Like other people, you do that when it's like you got all veterans and you're taking a couple rookies. Mm. Like, half the squad is rookies for the World Cup. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not that deep, but we'll close there because we're gonna come back and do another episode soon anyway. So yes, as usual, thank you very much to the panelists, Tiwa and Lauren. If you haven't already, make sure to follow on Twitter at GoldDiggersUK and on Instagram at GoldDiggersUK_. And make sure to catch us on all the platforms, so all the streaming platforms and also YouTube for the visual. Thanks very much. See you later. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.